Welcome to today's Hearthstone Let's Talk Pella. I'm Andrew Schneider. State Senator Ken Rosenboom joins us on the program to recap the 2019 Iowa legislative session.
Well, Senator, the 2019 legislative session has wrapped up, in fact, ahead of schedule. Your initial reaction to getting things done ahead of time and some of the things that we're able to pass here, especially in the last couple of weeks.
Well, yes, it is great to be done. We had a very firm, direct focus this year, as we've had the last couple of years, what our priorities are, and I think we stayed on our task, and that resulted in getting our work done in a timely way.
You kind of highlighted some of the key points in the session. Why don't you share some of those details with our listeners about some of the priorities you felt were accomplished and maybe a few of the things that may have to hang on until next year?
Well, we've had a consistent theme the last 3 years since my party took over the majority. We want to grow Iowa. We want to create a tax and business climate environment where our businesses thrive, where employment is there for everyone. And I think we've done that. So the budget's the big deal. It's always the big deal. But we did approve a budget that's conservative, it's responsible, and it's sustainable. But within that budget, we did provide an additional nearly $90 million for funding for our K-12 schools. And we did put the final wraps on extending the sales tax that's dedicated to support school infrastructure costs. So that's very significant, I believe.
A few of the big items, especially from the governor's priority list, didn't quite cross the threshold. Two of those items, one I'll mention, has to do with criminal justice reform in the sense of restoring voters' rights to convicted felons, and the other had to do with birth control. Now, I know the birth control issue passed in the Senate, but the criminal reform side did not. Kind of talk about those two issues and what you kind of anticipate going forward, the discussion maybe when you reconvene in January.
Many of us that are pro-life don't believe it's appropriate for abortion providers to receive taxpayer money. So we did some major work on that a couple of years ago, and then we had a few more smaller items to clean up with that. So that, as always, remains one of my highest priorities, and that is the pro-life agenda. And this legislation was consistent with that. To the other question about restoring convicted felon voting rights, that actually is also a priority of mine, in the sense that I believe that we do need to take a look at that. I think our current system, putting all the burden on the governor to make individual decisions on that, probably needs to be reformed. Having said that, I don't serve on the Judiciary Committee, and that's where the hard work had to be done. The hard work of deciding when and where we do that. In other words, an extreme example would be, of course, a person convicted maybe of second degree murder that at some point may serve a prison sentence and get back into the public arena. But then does he get the right to have his or her voting rights restored when the person whose life he took has no rights? So there's a lot of difficult questions about where those lines can be drawn. Restitution, what does that mean if someone has cost either other citizens or the public far more than that person can ever restore. So I'm not surprised it had hit some heavy resistance. I don't know if resistance is the right word or simply those hard questions about where we draw the line.
As the session wound down, there was an item that I know got considerable press, and it had to do with the Attorney General's office. Republicans voting to try and kind of strip back some of the powers he has in regards to out-of-state lawsuits. What was the purpose behind kind of scaling those back, and what's the defense for the Republicans, who many Democrats are claiming made this mostly as a political move?
Well, yeah, that's always an interesting charge, of course, and I'll address that. The bottom line is Iowa Attorney General a number of times, notably in the last 2.5 years or 3 years, has joined multi-state lawsuits against the executive, against President Trump. And he and the reason I mentioned that it's interesting that the Democrats are charging that's political is he's done that, I think, 7 or 8 times since Trump took office, but he never did any one of those during the Obama administration, 8 years of the Obama administration. So that's a convenient remark to make, I guess, that it's politically motivated. It's interesting that politics only seem to work one way in the minds of some people.
Well, and I guess the counterpoint is, if the roles were reversed, do you think the bill still would have passed if there was a Republican attorney general against President Obama? Or I guess that's the other question.
And that's a fair question. And that really cuts to the essence of the question. The bottom line is, I believe that the state attorney general's primary function is to serve the citizens of the state of Iowa and to be involved with lawsuits with other attorneys general around this around the country may be appropriate at times. I can think of times where that would be appropriate. In this case, his actions do seem to be politically motivated. So I would hope that both sides would keep that under wraps in the sense they do out to truly represent the people of Iowa rather than a political party.
Once again, that was State Senator Ken Rosenboom. That concludes today's Hearthstone Let's Talk Pella. Hearthstone, a ministry of Westy Life, supporting the health, independence, and well-being of older adults in Pella.